You've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably discovered that some commandments in the Word of God are easier for you to obey than others. It could be due to the various factors, such maybe as your personality, maybe previous habits before you were saved. Could be areas of personal weakness. Sometimes the problem is just a lack of understanding of how to obey a particular command. The scriptures contain directives that are rather straightforward and no need for any further explanation, such as you shall not murder. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18, I don't think that needs much clarification. Other verses give clear commands that we may not know specifically how to go about obeying them without receiving any further explanation. For instance, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Unless we look at the context or maybe search some other passages, we may not know how quite to do this. Depending on who you might ask as being filled with the Spirit, if you ask a Pentecostal, they'll tell you you need to speak in tongues. Be filled with Holy Spirit. What I see in the scriptures is the fruits of the Spirit are manifestations of the Holy Spirit living within you. If you're not manifesting any of these fruits, maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. These are fruits. Always manifest themselves. You see, fruit always comes according to its kind. Can't expect to go to an apple tree and pick cherries. Fruit always comes according to its kind. Another place we're told in the scriptures, you shall know them by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. Sometimes you don't have to go far to find out what's in somebody's heart. Just when they open their mouth, you can find out what's on their heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes you can find out what's in people's hearts by just listening to what they have to say. Another example is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, our passage today. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we know what Paul is saying, but we may not be sure how we can possibly do this. I can tell you that there's times I've had trouble with this portion of Scripture. Maybe if it would have said, in good things give thanks, we'd probably better understand that. When there's good times or good things, give thanks. That's easier to understand, isn't it? It sure is. We'd know exactly why we should obey it, because it would make perfect sense. When we consider the phrase, in everything, is when we begin to question whether gratitude is even possible in everything. Because you see, sometimes in everything, it's very difficult to give thanks. Did you just lose a loved one? You see, life includes many painful experiences. We have the loss of loved ones. We have financial downturns. We have illnesses. Perhaps you're suffering an illness where you suffer pain each and every day. Maybe you suffer migraines very often. To my knowledge, I've only ever had one migraine, and I'm not even sure if it was a migraine, but I can tell you one thing. I wouldn't want to have another one. I never had so much pain in my head. And I can't imagine going through that any more than once. Some people suffer constantly. These people need our prayers. God needs to touch these people. God, send somebody that knows what's causing these migraines and help these people that suffer such terrible pain. I can't imagine that. Illnesses. Then there's natural disasters. People lose everything in a disaster. Maybe a flood has taken everything that the material possessions they have. Accidents. Broken marriages. These are just some of those possibilities. How in the world are we supposed to thank God in the midst of all these? I want to try to discover for you the key on how to be thankful in everything. It's not found in this immediate text or command, but it is found throughout the Bible. Petey mentioned the Bible not being chronologically written. It's true. It's not chronologically written. There is a Bible that you can purchase that is put in chronological order in which the things occurred happened. But the Bible is not chronologically written. It certainly would be very convenient if the scriptures were arranged in such a way that we could easily find the answer for every problem or every question that we ever had. So sometimes we have to search a little deeper for the information that we need to handle life's problems. Sometimes, even when we do find the answer, it may not be quite what we were wanting to hear. The answers of life certainly are found within the pages of God's Word. It is certainly a revelation of Him and His redemption for mankind. We can be blessed as we grow in our knowledge of His Word, in our love, and also in our worship to Him. It's in the whole counsel of His Word that we can learn who He is and what He does. And then we'll understand why we should be grateful and how we can give thanks in everything, even those things that don't seem worthy of gratitude at all. And so the first truth I want us to see is we should understand about God is that He is sovereign. Do you know what that means? Simply, it means that He don't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. When you were born, you're not a mistake. I don't care what somebody might have told you. You are not a mistake. Now, if you heard that, that's a lie from the devil. Don't you believe a word of it. I don't care whose lips it came out of, but it's a lie from hell. Because you are not a mistake. God loves you. He created you just the way you are. He loves you so much. He is our supreme ruler. He possesses ultimate power. Ultimate power. When King Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king of Babylon, learned, he learned it the hard way. You see, one day he looked out across his kingdom and he thought it was his hands that produced such a wonderful kingdom. I believe the dream he had, and Daniel interpreted it, being that he would be the king of kings. His kingdom would be the kingdom of kingdoms. I believe that one day when Daniel interpreted for him, it went to his head. Because the scripture says he walked out and he looked out over his kingdom and he began to say what all his hands have done. Shame on you, Nebuchadnezzar. God puts kings in and he takes them out. He puts them in and he takes them out. And he had to tell Nebuchadnezzar a lesson that he'd never forget. So God made him to eat like a cow, grass like a cow for 7 years. His fingernails grew like that of a lion. For 7 years. And then after the 7 years, you ought to hear what he has to say. We know what he had to say before. He said it's, he looked out across everything and he said it this way. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? That's what he said. And God heard him. 7 years, he lived like a beast. He ate grass like a beast. I got to read you what happened after that. What happened after the 7 years that he ate grass like a beast? And then he gave the testimony that everybody should bow to the God of Daniel, for he is God. He is the God of gods. Everyone should bow to him. Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes toward heaven and blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. His ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I'd say Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson after 7 years living like a beast. Our God is sovereign. He is a sovereign God. We don't have to look around at our circumstances to think that we are helpless victims of fate or evil. Every event, every situation that comes our way has to first pass through the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Although we may not understand what He is doing, we can find peace in knowing that He is in control. Amen. He is in control. Secondly, God is always good. Without this attribute, we'd certainly find no comfort in God's sovereign control because we wouldn't be sure of his motives. But we never have to fear because we are under the rule of the Almighty God who is eternally good and does good. Psalms 119 and verse 68, the psalmist said, he is good. And he does good. Thirdly, God is always working everything for good to those who belong to him. Romans chapter 8 and 28. Even though we experience circumstances that are not good in themselves, the Lord skillfully weaves those dark threads of life together for his glory and for our ultimate good. And the goal he's working toward in our lives is revealed in that very next verse. He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Excuse me, I got a tickle. And so any painful or difficult experience, even one that's caused by our own sinful rebellion, can be used by the Lord for our spiritual growth and the development of godliness. Now, you know what else I get out of that scripture? And I've told you this before. Christians should be the happiest people on the face of this earth. You know why? You know what I'm going to say. Because you can't make a mistake that God can't fix. or make good come out of it. He can make good come out of anything. No matter what poor choices you make, and you will make some. I've made my share of them. I'll be making more. Don't want to, but I probably will, because I'm not perfect. Just check with my wife, she'll tell you. Oh, I forgot. This is recorded. She can check on me. All right. Sorry, honey. Erase that. All right. I love her. I know she has to love me. She got to forgive me. These three truths that I've just shared with you about God, we can give thanks to him in everything. You see, gratitude is not dependent upon good circumstances. It's based on our confidence and our trust in the Lord and in his promises. You see, it's the evidence of submission to him and dependence upon him. And you know what the result will be? Is peace that transcends comprehension. Did you catch that? You can have a peace no matter if you understand it or not. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't understand it. But I know this. God's still working good. I don't see it yet, but he's still working good. He's doing some good things. And with that, I have peace. I have peace with that. It transcends comprehension. I have a relationship with my Lord that is steady and unwavering, and a powerful witness that influences those around me. How about your influence? How are you influencing those around you? When you're going through some really deep stuff, do people still sense Jesus in you? Or do you get mean and crabby? Sometimes we do that too. It's not always the best thing I want people to see. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want them to see that Jesus is working in me. And yes, sometimes things don't go always the way I plan. But I know that God's planning, and his planning's perfect. And I take rest in that. I'm okay with that. Just give me some patience, Lord, with this, because I'm not doing real good with this. I just tell the Lord, I'm not doing real good with this. I need some help with this, because I'm not doing good with it. If you're a child of God today, he's with you in whatever situation you're facing today. Although you may not be able to see the good that he's working at that very moment, you can trust that he is. It's the most precious good that he can bring. He brings to us eternity. How precious to be able to spend eternity with the Lord and my loved ones. Our greatest gratitude in every situation should be for the salvation of our souls. And after we received some of his temporal benefits, how about the unimaginable blessings that Petey was talking about in the Sunday school lesson, the unimaginable blessings that await us in heaven. Much of it's not even been able to be shared. I spoke with a good friend of mine who died three times, and he said, the next time I die, he said, don't you worry about me. Don't you weep for me. Because each time I died and went to heaven, he said, I didn't want to come back, but the Lord sent me back. He said, I've seen some beautiful things. He's a friend of mine. I don't have too many friends that died and went to heaven, but he did. He did. And he came back. He didn't want to come back. He told the Lord, I don't want to come back. He said, Roger, when I was dead, he said, I was free from this body. We don't understand the limitations that we have in this body. We're limited. He said, I was free of my body. He said, I could go and do whatever I wanted to do. I was free from my body. He said, I've never experienced anything like this. I said, I did not want to come back because I was free. And when you read the scriptures, you can understand what he was talking about. You can understand that. What an experience to have. The first time he looked down, he just fell asleep. It was in church. He just passed out. He was slumped over in the church pew. And he was up at the ceiling looking down at his body that had slumped over in the church pew. And he heard the people saying, is he dead? Is he dead? What happened to him? He heard all the conversations. He was conscious because he was up at the ceiling listening to everybody. He was watching everything. Wow. Whew, glory. I talked to him, man. I just put goosebumps on my back. Praise his wonderful name. Whew. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this message you laid in my heart about in everything, giving thanks. Lord, you know that's not always been easy. I know it wasn't always easy with me to give thanks in all these things, because all these things wasn't always good to give thanks for. But I understand that you're always working, and even when I can't see it, it's okay. It's all right. Just help me to give you a little more patience, because I didn't give you much. In fact, I don't have much at all. And I'm sorry. Forgive me, because I'd like to have more. I want you to be patient with me, and I'll try to be patient with others, because I want you to be patient with me. And Lord, I don't believe I'm alone on this. Lord, I think there's some other ones that could use some too. I think this message was for everyone here today. You spoke to me when I was preparing it, and I was glad to share it, because I know, Lord, that we all need it. And help us, Lord, during this time of season to be thankful, to be grateful for everything and in everything. And even now, there's some people that are going through some things, and it's just on handy. It's hard. And I know, Lord, that they're going to need your help too. Help them through this time in their life. Maybe it's a very time of struggle. Maybe it's a lot of time of pain. Help them through it, Lord. You've helped me through it. I know I got some more things to go through. But I'm just happy and glad that you're just there waiting for me and helping me as you're helping these. We pray it and we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So be it.